A Shishkin Productions podcast.
What, why were Billy Joel's clothes wet?
Why?
Because he didn't start the dryer.
That's pretty good.
Hey, what's up, Sizzlers? Welcome to another episode of the Sizzle Reel Podcast.
It's been a minute.
Chris is back. We'll get into all of that as we get into the show. But I just wanted to let everyone know that we are right now in the Matt King Memorial Podcast Arena and Lounge. The lighting is dimmed.
Is it the Matt King or is it the Matt H. King?
Matt H. King, sorry. The lighting is dimmed. I'm drinking a Hudson North Ginger Citrus Cider.
Yum.
The most loungy of the ciders.
Bro, we're lounging on a Friday night.
We're fucking lounging.
I'm
Friday.
I'm stoked on it.
I'm excited to maybe after this go out, get a little drink.
Oh, yeah?
Do our thing.
Count me out.
I had a long day today.
Yeah, it's true. We had an even longer evening last night.
On accident.
Yeah, on accident. We were just...
on our way to the train
to
go home.
It was weird.
And there was like... We walked by like a few bars.
Yeah, I don't know.
How'd those get there?
And then all of a sudden we were drinking.
Well, to be fair, I mean, we had to make up for lost time because you've been gone for a long time.
I have been gone for a while.
Catching up, you know,
We met a young video services professional.
Yeah, we tried to bestow some
knowledge.
Some knowledge on him. We'll get into that in a second. Chris, before we start,
what's
up with the social plugs?
Dude, I don't even remember them.
Yeah, good luck.
It is what are we?
Sizzle Reel Gang.
Oh, at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We are sizzlereelgang@gmail.com. We haven't been getting any emails. Have we? I don't know. I don't have access to that account.
One. We do have one.
Oh, we have one. Well.
One that we'll get to in a second.
We are Shishkin Productions on Instagram as well. Maybe on TikTok. Who knows if anything's going on with that. I don't pay attention. Yeah. But there's probably something. So go follow. And most importantly, we have the Sizzle Reel Cold Line.
That's right.
That is 332-333-4361.
Call in.
So I was kind of redoing my resume the other day because I can't stand working here and I'm looking for new jobs.
Thank God. Get him out of here.
And it was funny because the number I had on there for my contact, it was this is a real cold line.
So you don't know where that resume has been going.
I know. Wouldn't
people
it be
have
so
been calling
fun?
In.
Yeah, someone called in, left a message for me, being like,
dope.
Hey, we're really interested in you for this gig.
We love the resume. We like how you're, you know, clever with this cold line thing. This is so cool.
What if I was like secretly looking for jobs without telling you, and then that's how you found out?
Oh, that I got the notification on the cold line.
Yeah, right.
We'd like to invite you in for an interview. Mm-hmm. I think that would be cool. Actually, that'd be a good segment.
Oh,
if you went with a microphone on and you did a real job interview. I know we did the fake job interview with Braxton one time.
Oh, I didn't get the job. I haven't heard from Braxton in
New York's
a while.
One party consent state, so you can come in with the microphone and you're all good to record.
Totally legal.
It's very, very nuts. Look, we did get an email.
Okay.
It's from February 1st, because it's been a while. We recorded, before this, and you know, it's been a while. But
yeah.
Kevin sent in an email.
Aww.
He sent something called 11 Labs, voice AI. He said Gen Z is going to lose it when they find out they can just type out what they want to say on phone calls. You've probably already come across this, but there's probably a good joke about replacing Chris with AI in there somewhere. You know, and so we'll spill the tea to listener Kevin.
Yeah, I've been AI the whole time.
We tried actually to get because we have so much sizzle reel.
Yeah,
I was trying. This was like a couple months ago to submit a lot of samples of the show.
Yeah, there's like a German company, right?
I think they were Indian. I don't even fucking know. But this is how quickly all that AI shit is moving, is that like, I think we tried to do this like 2 months ago. And in those like 2 to 3 months now, like, you don't even need that much sample. Like, you can have like 3 or 4 seconds of someone's voice and it'll generate it. So I think at the time when Kevin sent this, it was like kind of impressive. And then looking at it now, it's like just in the last like month, other things have been unveiled that are like the like I said, the pace of it is just insane.
Yeah,
how
yeah.
things grow.
It's a new frontier, I guess, and it's terrifying, but I love it because you can just do like fun creative shit with it. Obviously, you can do evil weird
malicious
shit with it too. Yeah, but you know, that's not what I'm gonna use it for.
Yeah,
probably.
I mean, I will say like I don't even remember, dude. It's been so long since we recorded. When I remember one of my, like, what we learned last week's was that Project Shasta was called at the time. Now it's called like Adobe Podcast,
yes,
whatever.
Yes.
So I think we may have mentioned it on the show, but I used the shit out of that during the Tree Fort doc, and it cleaned up the audio like an insane amount. It is fucking incredible.
100%. I was doing a project for Matt a couple weeks ago, and I had to like replace some lines with newly recorded VO. Yeah. And it was the second time around, it was recorded in like a much better space, I guess. So it sounded much better, and you could kind of notice
there was a difference in quality.
Exactly. It was enough for the clients to call it out.
Yeah.
So instead of kind of muddying up the new VO to make it sound a little bit worse to match the rest, I was like, fuck it, I'm going to run it through Adobe Podcast Enhance and see what I get. Yeah. And it just cleaned up all the audio, and it made it sound perfect. Like, it was recorded the exact same time.
Yeah. It is really nuts what it can do. Like, I'll drop in right here a sample of what it
drop
is.
Drop in, tune out, whatever.
Drop in, tune out, AI. But I'll drop in a sample right here with a before and like an after.
Yeah.
So like people can hear what it sounds like.
Sure.
Yo, this is me talking about 2 feet away from the iPhone. It's probably picking up some noise. Who knows? But
after we throw it through Podcast Enhance, it's going to sound like I recorded this in a studio.
That was pretty incredible, right?
It's nuts. It's nuts. And like, yeah, I don't know. I kind of wanted to gatekeep it for a while. I was like, damn, it would be tight to like gatekeep this
and
like try to like hustle it and be like, hey, you know, we have this technology that like we know how to clean up audio really well. And, you know, here's the difference in the sound quality, and we'll do it for you for $2,500 like a day or something.
Yeah, it's for me right now. I have kind of mixed feelings because I like that it's kind of a secret. It's like, if you know, you know. But at the same time, I would love for it to be a feature within Premiere, like just a plugin that you can run it through, just for ease.
It's probably coming soon. I mean, it is an Adobe thing.
Exactly. But that, you know, then it's like, well, everyone can do it. And now, I mean, obviously we're not, it's not a skill thing. You know, it's not like we're just better at something. No, we just found a tool that works really well and does all the work for us.
Yeah,
but still, it's nice to kind of have that.
It's
part of your
podcast.adobe.com is where it's at.
/enhance.
/enhance, I think. Right. But it's crazy. It's really cool. I like it. You know, I saw a TikTok about it the other day and I was like, shut up. Don't tell anybody about
this. Don't tell people.
Chris, what's, you put on the rundown what you've been up to. You say Europe.
Yeah.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, so for the last 12 days, I guess, I was in Europe, and it was, you know, what is there to say? It was
first time,
fun and beautiful.
Right?
Yeah, it was my first time, and you know, it's kind of interesting. Like, I never thought the first time I went to Europe I'd be going to like Austria and Slovakia and
Czech Republic.
Yeah. Hungary. Like, I was excited to go to those places. I just never imagined that, you know, that would be somewhere I end up.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like the first time in Europe.
Exactly.
Like, trip, you know what I mean?
And then I ended the trip in Ireland, and that's one where I was like, not surprised at all. Like, I always expected to go to Ireland at some point in my life. But
you said you liked Prague the most, I think, when we were talking about it.
Yeah. Prague was my favorite by a long shot. I mean, everywhere was really cool, but Prague just hit different, you know, like, it was
cheap beer.
It was beautiful. It was walkable, cheap beer. Like, we were literally paying maybe, between $1.50 and $3 per, beer, you know, like a half liter or a
fucking
pint.
Incredible.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's kind of like, you really only have the choice of like a couple beers most places, and almost everywhere was Pilsner or Kell.
Okay, word.
Which apparently was the original Pilsner.
The OG Pils.
Yeah, and it's great. It's a great beer. And they have like a light and a dark. And
see, the thing is, like, I don't even care about having that much choice in my beer. Like, I really don't. Like, if I go to a place and it's like all these different taps, I'm probably just going to get Modelo.
Yeah.
So like, if I could get a Modelo for like $2, that's fucking perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather have the beers be cheap than have like this, like, oh, it's a triple IPA that's like brewed from the beard yeast of our brewmaster or whatever. It's like, what the fuck? Like,
yeah,
I think that's the actual thing.
The one thing was like almost all the beer there is like 4%, which, you know, it's fine. But you were telling me
that's the best.
Yeah, you were telling me that, you know, that if you want to get drunk there, you do shots, which makes sense.
I think so.
Betcherovka.
Yeah, a little Betcherovka. Do a little, just even vodka, whatever.
Yeah,
but I think like it's good when the beer is low,
yeah,
ABV, because it's like it doesn't hit you as hard, you know.
It just depends what you're trying
now,
to do.
Calories, those will stack up.
Oh yeah, guess, absolutely. It was interesting too. We were there during the Super Bowl. And we went to an Irish bar that night, and
did you end up watching it?
I watched the first half.
What time was like? It was like midnight. Over
it started
there, right?
At like 1 a.m. there.
That's
roughly
nice.
And I was we were talking to the bartender there because we were like the only ones in, and he was like, yeah, I'm gonna be here all night, where there's a Super Bowl party. And I was like, that's
weird.
Wild. And I, you know, at least in Prague there's no last call, like you can sell,
so
you can
crazy.
Sell 24 hours a day. Not everyone does,
yeah,
but you have the ability to.
Yeah.
And cannabis is decriminalized. There were like little cannabis bodegas everywhere.
Damn.
So that was great.
Prague's the place to be.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed my day in Budapest. That was another beautiful place. And then Ireland as a whole was, you know, it's a very beautiful country. Dublin itself, it was fine. It's very expensive. It's like paying New York prices at a lot of places. Like I was paying like on average $6 or $7 for a Guinness, I'd say. And, you know, it's not terrible, but when you just have been spending $3 per beer,
yeah.
it kind of hits you.
I mean, Dublin, you know, it's the biggest city in the world, I think.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah, the population just keeps doubling and doubling
Got him.
While you were in Europe gallivanting, I was here fucking slaving over NHL videos, just fucking crushing it.
Yeah.
There was one day where
I wanted to do those videos.
I know, but... Instead, they got the more talented editor.
Sure.
There was one day where I had to deliver, between that and another thing, like 130 videos in
Jesus,
one day, dude. I mean, it took me more than one day to do it,
yeah,
but like
yeah.
it was Friday. And at the end of the day, I was like, you are expected to have delivered 130 videos today.
Yeah.
So
it's,
I did it.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you.
Yeah. That's where
I
decided.
With no support.
As I was doing it, I was just like, damn, I really wish I could automate this part of the process. Because like every video, right? Like I needed to have a 4x5 video that was an H.264 export with captions and graphics and all that. Then I needed to have an H.264 video that had everything, the music, sound effects, graphics, but no captions.
Mm-hmm.
Then I needed to have a 9x16 export that was clean and had no music, no graphics, no captions, but just the image of the people talking.
Yeah.
And then I had to do a split track ProRes export, which had no graphics, no captions, but had all the people and then the dialogue, sound effects, and music on separate tracks. So I had to do that for 30 something videos. So four deliverables like that per video.
So 120
so
something.
It was crazy, bro. I was just like...
I don't understand needing split track for like a social media video. I mean,
yeah, I think it's just probably like a archival.
I'm sure it's just part of their process. Cause you know, I've been delivering split track for them for a couple of years now, and it's great because now I know how to do split track audio easily, but
yeah, I think that it was probably good for me to have done that. Like at the time I was like, oh, this sucks. I don't really feel like, It's like tedious, right?
Yeah.
But I'm kind of glad that I had to go through it because now I actually know how to do it better.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I did that.
It can be frustrating because you have to set up the sequence that way. You can't just export and change things.
Yeah.
You got to be deliberate about it. I've been lazy about it. Every time I just copy the last sequence I used to use split track on, and then I just, you know, copy and paste my new sequence on there.
That's what I ended up doing. I basically in the V2s I had switched everything to be like that split track, multi-channel, whatever. And then as I would duplicate that to make my H.264 sequences, and then I would change their channels and map them all to 1 and 2, and it was just like, you know, it's cool, it's good that I did it, I guess. I don't know, I wasn't necessarily like excited about it, but no. I was like, oh, okay. I haven't done this in so long that it actually feels like I'm learning something new.
Yeah, it is useful.
Yeah, it was cool.
That's same thing. Like I've had to deliver like 5.1 a few times and I forget how every time because it's, I do it like once a year or something like that. And then I have to spend like 20 minutes like just troubleshooting and making sure I'm doing it right. It's
I still don't know how to deliver 5.1.
It's really not that difficult. I just always forget the process.
Yeah. Other things I was up to while you were in Europe, I finally finished the Tree Fort trailer.
Really?
Yeah. Wait, have you not seen it?
I don't think I've seen it.
Jesus Christ, dude. You've been out of the loop forever.
I know.
The Tree Fort trailer is done.
Okay.
You've pretty much seen it, I think.
I mean, I was there.
It's a good point. But yeah, the trailer's cool. I don't know if it's out yet. I have no idea what's going on with it, but I think Tree Fort are going to...
It's releasing on Tree Fort social media?
I don't know what they're going to do with it. I'm waiting to hear back from them to see what's happening with that.
Did they react to it at all?
They loved it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, they love the trailer, but wait till they see the movie.
Speaking of Tree Fort, we did book our flights and our hotels today, so that's...
Finally.
That's locked in.
It's locked in, baby. It's happening.
We're getting dangerously close without having shit together.
Yeah, big shout out to all the people over there at World of Hyatt.
Yeah.
Hooking it up. Yep. Legends. So Tree Fort trailer. I'll show it to you at the break.
Yeah. Yeah.
Other stuff. You sold your camera.
I did. It was, you know, I've had this camera on eBay for like 6 months or maybe longer. And, of course,
what is it?
It's a Panasonic DVX 200. I think, it's like a Micro Four Thirds camcorder. It's got like the built-in servo and all that shit. It was a really great camera for like documentary work or something like that. It's not a cinema camera, but you know, it was an affordable, like I think I spent maybe $3,500 on it at the time.
Mm-hmm. This looks like some shit to shoot like a skate video on.
The red one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a carbon fiber looking thing. It's a great camera. It really was. You know, it's like touchscreen and like had built-in stabilization, and it was like compact enough, and it also had like SDI, and it was, the reason I went with it is because at the time my former coworker, she was a reporter, she was starting a nonprofit that did video work for like for other nonprofits or for education stuff. And I knew that the people who she would use as videographers that weren't me, they were all news photographers. So I wanted a camera that was a lot more similar to the cameras that we used at the station, but being a little bit elevated. And then that's what I settled on. But yeah, I was on there for like 6 months, and of course it sells when I'm 3,000 miles away or whatever. Yeah. So that sold like in the middle of the trip. So I let Lisa handle it because she wanted it out of the house if I wasn't using it. And I was like, all right, well, if you sell it, you can have the money.
Why did she want it out of the house?
It's just taken up space and I haven't used it since I moved here. So, I mean, she's right.
It's a pretty nice camera.
It's
I'm
a great camera.
Lie.
It sold for a little bit less than I was hoping. I think I had it on there for like $2,500 and someone offered $1,700. And I was, in my head, I was like, well, counter offer $2,000. See if they bite on that. Yeah, but then I looked at other cameras, like other DVX 200s on eBay, and they were about $1,700. Like they might have been used a little bit more than mine, but I was like, this is the first legitimate buyer I've had, and yeah everyone else has been like scams. I was like, fuck it, at $1,700 that I wouldn't have otherwise. And you know, I did get a couple years of use out of it.
Yeah, there you go.
It's weird though, you know? It's like that was my first, I guess the T3i was my first camera, but that
was
like my
first actual camera.
Exactly.
Like DSLRs don't really count as cameras.
Exactly. So it's a little bit sad. It's gone now, but
at least someone else is getting use out of it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. And hopefully that they the main thing I'm worried about still, cuz we just sent it on Tuesday, I think. I'm afraid of them like saying there's something wrong with it or like scamming me, because I've heard that eBay or in PayPal will almost always side with the buyer.
Damn.
And there's, with high money items, there's always a chance that you can get fucked and be out of your money and your camera. But hopefully that doesn't happen. Hopefully they're just a normal honest person.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I remember buying one of the computers off of eBay. Remember it got here and like the ports were busted and they didn't work or something like that?
Yeah.
Do we have to, what do we do? Do we send it back to them?
No, I don't, I think.
Or do we take it somewhere to get fixed?
Pardon me. We ended up taking it to that spot in Williamsburg, I think.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. See, like, that's one of those things where I'm pretty sure I did complain about it, and I don't think eBay did anything, but whatever.
No, you did, and I think they even responded and were like, we do vigorous testing, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, guess what? Your testing didn't work because these ports are busted on arrival.
Yeah.
But, and speaking of selling cameras, this is going to make Kevin sad, but I think I might end up selling my my Fuji, the X, I think it's X100V or something like that.
Got to do it.
Yeah, I brought it with me to Europe and I used it a few times, but I found myself more often than not just using my phone because it was quicker, it was more convenient. And honestly, I think that I'm just not a good enough photographer to get the most out of that camera. Mm-hmm. Like it's a fixed focal length and it just didn't always work for me. Like, I think I'd rather have like a mirrorless or a DSLR type.
See, the thing is for me, like I don't think I would ever want a photo camera. I just like, don't, I prefer to, if I have the option, I'd rather take a video.
Yeah. I mean, you can take videos on it too.
That's what I'm saying. Like if I would never take, like even if I had a mirrorless, I wouldn't take photos on it. I would just take videos straight up all the time.
Fair enough.
Cause it's like, I don't know. Picture's worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
24 pictures a second.
I still have to take a look at my photos from that camera and see how they turned out, but I'm thinking I didn't do a great job with them.
Other stuff, I know that this is kind of, I feel like it's already kind of going long for the first half. I don't know. I didn't really check when we started.
Oh, we're 20 minutes in.
But MLS, you wrote down MLS CAC.
Yeah, so MLS, that season starts, well, by the time you're hearing it, it started this past weekend.
That's right.
And that means we are starting on Goal of the Week, and, you know, what a save. And I think there's a new thing as well. I'm not going to say what it is yet just because it's new. I'll wait till it comes out. It should come out later tomorrow or something like that.
Yeah.
Everything got pushed by a day because a couple games got canceled due to the crazy weather in Pasadena. There's like a winter storm warning in Pasadena.
And in Portland, there was like a foot of snow, so that game got moved as well.
But I'm pretty excited for that. And last week, you just did the first episode of a new series called Mic'd Up for MLS.
Yes.
But unfortunately, the game you did it for was postponed.
Right. So I don't know. Well, I'm excited that I got the Apple TV package. It's like, what is it, $80 for the year for MLS season pass.
Yeah.
I looked at the content they have on there. It's already really cool. Like, I'm actually super excited to see, you know, where that goes, that partnership with MLS and Apple. And I'm excited to see some of our shit get on the on the old tube.
It's gonna be cool to see something that we did on like on demand on Apple TV. You know? I mean, it's not the first time we've seen something that we've done, but it's still fun and novel every time.
Yeah, then this one's just like a little bit different where, like, I don't know. Searching something up on YouTube is just like not the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And speaking of MLS, yes. I believe that you've been working on something MLS related.
We're trying to launch a new podcast called Calling All Casuals. It's me and Amy. Amy is the casual. I'm pretty casual as well, but we're just it's like a way for people who maybe don't know soccer to get into soccer, because it's very low stakes. I've been kind of slow on the release of it. So right now, as of this recording, there is a trailer and a first episode that are up, but they're only up on Spotify because Anchor.fm fucking sucks, to be totally honest. They used to actually automatically do distro for you. And it's weird because they still advertise that they automatically handle distro. And then like when you actually like create a podcast, they just give you a link to like go sign up to get your podcast distributed at this place. And
that's,
it's like,
so frustrating.
Dude, like, what the fuck?
And what do they even do at this point?
I get it because
analytics?
It's free. So like, I would rather just pay a monthly price and actually have a thing that works than like have this free thing. I don't even get me into all that bullshit, man. They convinced us to switch over when we had Jeremy doing a podcast.
Uh-huh.
And then Jeremy's podcast went away. And then immediately they just stopped because we were like of no value to them. Yep. We were like, oh, there's no influencers on the network. Well, we're gone. And then they stopped responding. They just ghost every single time I ask anything.
Yep.
And it's like, cool, all right. So I guess I'm just kind of pushing, like pulling this thing myself.
Fuck you, Anchor FM.
Yeah, Anchor.fm.
We do not recommend them for
even though this shit is all hosted. Even though this shit is all hosted on there.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's how we know.
I'll say I'll recommend them if you're like a novice and you don't really know what you're doing.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah.
But like if you're trying to actually run a network, there's a lot better options. So Calling All Casuals, look it up. It's first episode is very long. The first episode, Amy picks a team, so we went through every team, so it ended up being like 3 hours.
Yeah. There's also a much shorter trailer. You can just listen to that instead.
The trailer will tell you what the show's about. Yeah. Last thing, I don't know. I wrote talent agency plan. I remember I was talking about how like I'm trying to figure out what my new side hustle is going to be. I think I might try to take some of my like friends under, you know, under my wings as an agent and try to get them some gigs. And
why not
start messing around, seeing what I can do?
Yeah. It's a rising tide lifts all ships, right?
That's right. That's right. Let's touch on this before we go to break. There was this article, this news that came out this last week that Google, they want their staff to be returning to the office, but they also want people to be sharing their desks now.
That is such like you're trying to entice people to come back to the office and you're saying you're gonna share your desk with someone else. Are they fucking bonkers? Like that is so insane to me. Like that is going to kill morale so much. And it's like, what is the point of that? Is it to save money on overhead? Well, in that case, just keep them work from home. Like, what? I just don't understand the motivation here.
It says that the motive, there's a FAQ that was released in the motive sites, quote, real estate efficiency. But it's like you said, it's like, well, then just let them stay home.
Yeah.
You're like what? Look, just, you know what I mean?
I either pay the money for your employees to be comfortable and have their own space or don't. Like, don't have it at all. Let them work from home.
It's just so funny because it comes from a company that like, remember, I don't know, probably like what, 20 years ago, right? Like, wasn't Google's whole thing like, we're going to make our campus so cool, make our offices so fun that people are going to want to stay here and they're not going to want to go home.
I think five years ago, that was still the case.
And now it's like, you're going to share desks.
It's like, what
the fuck?
No, that's awful. And it's probably one of those things where either you have golden handcuffs or you're on a work visa somehow that, you know, or it's Google and there's been tech layoffs and your future is uncertain. So you just have to deal with it. You just have to bend over and take it.
Yeah. So they're basically in trying to redo all of this. They're launching a thing called a neighborhoods as part of this, like, kind of big picture reorg that's happening. I don't know if it's really a reorg, but like, you know, a different way of doing things.
Sure, sure.
So it says that neighborhoods will be made up of 200 to 300 employees and partners across a range of functions in order to make sure the desk sharing is running smoothly. Each neighborhood will have a vice president or a director who is responsible for dividing and allocating the space.
You're creating a job just to share desks?
So weird. Neighborhood leads are encouraged to set norms with their teams around sharing desks, ensuring that pairings of Googlers have conversations about how they will or will not decorate the space, store personal items, and tidiness expectations.
I mean, can they just not see how much of a cluster this is going to be? Like, how unhappy it's going to make people? They clearly already see how much extra work it's going to be if they're having a fucking neighborhood director or whatever. Yeah. Like, it's mind-numbingly stupid.
It's like some crazy bureaucratic garbage.
Like, it's such a turnoff from a employer perspective. I just don't get it.
From an employee.
Employee, yeah.
Yeah, like if I was told that I had to do this, I'd be like, no, I'm good. Like, again, I think maybe part of it is that our work is a little different. Like, we actually have to be like, we can't just be at laptops every day. Like, we have like, you know, we have to have powerful computers and everything's got to be locked in. It's like multiple monitors and like I think for a post-production, your suite and your desk or whatever is like kind of an important thing.
100%.
But if your job is like literally just you chilling at a laptop, I could maybe see like sharing desks. I just know that I personally would not want to do that. I'd be like, nah, bro, I'm good. Bro.
No. And like I've kind of shared desks in the past where like I wasn't like working directly next to someone at the same desk, but like we at the station, you know, we didn't have our own computer because there were three different shifts every day.
Yeah.
So I would work at a different computer, you know, half the time. At one point I worked at like at least 10 different stations because that's how many there were. I worked at every one at least once. And it just, it sucks not having your own personal space that like you can, you know, just hang your decorations or just get into a flow or have your little storage box. Just it really adds so much to the quality of life at work.
I mean, I'll tell you, I technically like shared space a lot throughout my career, but I was never working at that place like full time. I was always a contractor. Yeah.
That
so
makes
I come
sense.
In as a freelancer. It's like, of course, as a freelancer, you're just going to whatever's available.
Yeah.
Or, you know, at Complex, shout out Joe Schaefer. He managed to get me he knew that I liked a suite, so he'd always get me the edit suite. So nice. I was always chilling in a room. It's fucking great.
Well, even our freelancers, like, you know, we have like two or three computers for them and they're not always at the same one, you know, for the most part. I think they can kind of decide, but sometimes it's a full house and you just take what you're given.
That's true.
And that's fine. But yeah, for a full-time employee and for a company like Google, like we're like a three person tiny ass company.
Yeah.
We're not Google.
True. Yeah. Which, I guess there's no better way to go to break than for me to break this news to you, Chris. We're going to start sharing desks, me and you tomorrow. So,
great.
It's gonna be cool.
I do
we're gonna do bunk desks.
I'm actually down for that. I want the top loft.
Top one.
Yeah,
right, cool.
The one thing, I guess they have an internal company platform, and one of the posts regarding this neighborhood thing was, not every cost-cutting measure needs to be word mangled into sounding good for employees. A simple "we are cutting office space to reduce costs" would make leadership sound more believable. Yeah. Like, it's clearly the employees are already
against it.
Yeah, and they're like seeing through it. Yeah. And it's just a bad look.
I wouldn't be surprised if by the time this episode publishes, if they've walked that back.
I hope so.
Because it seems like a crazy thing. Okay, let's go to break. When we come back, we'll talk about this article from The Verge, the best free or low cost tools for video editors.
Yep.
Welcome back, Sizzlers.
Ooh, you fucking jerk.
That's that surround sound effect.
Wow.
What'd you think of the trailer?
I thought it was super lit.
Can't believe you haven't fucking seen it.
I didn't even know it had a name.
Yeah, I didn't know that he hadn't. You'd seen it, right, Tyler?
I didn't know the name.
Tyler'd seen it. He didn't know the name. I didn't know the name until I made it up.
No, it was a really well done trailer. I'm stoked to see it now. Like, here's the thing is, like, I've just been hearing for months about the slog that it is to go through and edit it. And, you know, you haven't been giving out positive messaging as far as the product right now, but that looks awesome. Yeah, the trailer
is incredible, dude. I know what I'm doing. I'm kind of a fucking genius, but okay. I'm, you know, kind of, but also I'm not. And that's why I haven't finished the doc yet.
Genius is a spectrum.
Yeah, man, it's true. And I'm at the end of it. I'm at the edge, cutting edge.
Okay.
What's kind of like a good way to describe that? Like, procrastination really is what's happening.
Yeah. It's like, but that's,
I'm driven by deadlines, and now I actually have a deadline. And I was told that I'm in the Treefort Slack right now. I was told that this now is going to screen at 5 PM on Friday, which like, that'll be crazy. They're still trying to figure out logistically what it's going to look like, but they're also thinking about screening it for the Treefort staff on Tuesday.
Oh,
before Tuesday night. And Megan wants to do it at the Egyptian Theater, which is like,
yeah.
So I'm like, oh,
it's a big venue.
Well,
that's like honestly one of the biggest venues at Treefort.
The thing is, the reason I'm not super like I'm actually very concerned about it, and I can't wait for Treefort to end this year. So that way, like Tuesday, uh-huh. I'll be like, okay, cool. Now I feel like the doc is done. Like, it's done. So my stress level is about to be through the roof for the next like 4 weeks, but then it's done.
Yeah.
And I don't have to deal with it.
There's something about it's pressure and diamonds, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like that Billy Joel song, Pressure.
Doon, 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 doon.
Here, I'll play a little snippet of Pressure right here. Fucking banger of a song, right?
What, why were Billy Joel's clothes wet?
Why?
Because he didn't start the dryer.
That's pretty good. Yeah, so I'm going to tell that joke at trivia, actually, at some point. Because what they do is when there's a tie in trivia, you go up there and the guy's a megaphone and you tell a joke through megaphone and whoever gets the better response, like whoever's joke is better, they win the shots.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, so Chris.
Yes.
What did we have here on the docket? We were talking about The
Verge.
Yeah, so The Verge posted this article, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
It's actually, did you write this? It's by a person named Chris Person. It sounds like it's like you trying to like make up a name on the fly.
Yeah, it was the AI version of me.
What's your name? Chris. And last name? Person.
It's like an alien pretending to be.
Yeah, I'll blend in. Chris Person wrote this thing. It's called The Best Free or Low Cost Tools for Video Editors.
Yep.
A little sub headline. Sometimes you just need a solid software package to get the job done. Here's a list of my favorite video tools that will help you do just that without emptying your wallet. I don't know if you managed to read through this at all. I kind of read a little bit.
I wasn't able to go through all of them. There's a lot. There's like 15 or 20.
He's got a ton of things on here. So I think let's just go through one by one.
Yeah.
Like maybe you can introduce the first one. I'll do the second one. We'll switch off.
Sure.
And we don't have to necessarily read everything he wrote, but we can just kind of
quick overview.
Just say what it is and kind of if you've ever had an experience with it and that kind of stuff.
Sure. It looks like the first one and this kind of like sub form or like the
kind of divided it into categories.
Yeah. Yeah. This one is for editing, and it looks like the first one on the list is probably one of the most well-known, and I think it's a great option for people just now getting into editing. It's DaVinci Resolve. It is free for the like. There's like a standard version, and then they have DaVinci Resolve Studio.
Do you know the difference?
Not off the top.
I've heard that it's fucking awesome. I got to be honest. One of these things that he wrote is that out of the box, Resolve just works better than Premiere and is infinitely more enjoyable to interact with. I've never in my life opened Resolve because I've never needed to.
I've opened it a handful of times. I think one time I had to do like proxies for a Blackmagic or like B-Raw, and I think I can only do it through Resolve or something like that. Let's see. It seems
Here it is. He wrote it in here. The main limitation is if you want to edit frame rates higher than 60 FPS and resolutions over 4K. So you basically can get higher frame rates and higher resolutions.
But with the free one, you can still do 4K up to 60 frames per second.
According to this.
That's going to take care of like 95% or more of like every project that you're going to do.
I'd probably say like 99.
Exactly. So I personally think it's an incredible option if you're just getting into editing and you don't want to like download a cracked version of Premiere or whatever. I'm curious how it's going to shape the next maybe 5 or 10 years of editors. Like if we're gonna start to see a lot of people coming out of school just breaking into the industry and the main thing they learned on was Resolve because it was free, and if they're gonna start to gain a larger market share,
I think that's kind of DaVinci's whole like
idea. Yeah.
You know, yeah, that's what they or who owns it now? Blackmagic.
Blackmagic.
That's probably what Blackmagic's whole thing is. It's like, okay, cool. We're gonna make this software free to start. Like, you can just use it for free, and that's gonna get you into our ecosystem.
Yeah.
And you're gonna like want to use our software.
Well, and especially like if you want to become a colorist, more than likely you're gonna be using DaVinci Resolve to color.
Yeah.
And you know, if you can have an all-in-one app, you can edit in there and you can color in there. The only limitations for me, like, and I haven't edited anything in there. I've just opened it a few times to understand the interface, but there is something about working within the Adobe workflow. If you use After Effects a lot or something like that, it is still very nice to have the dynamic link or, you know, whatever. You don't have to send like EDLs or XMLs back and forth to make things work.
Yeah.
But I think for most people, that's negligible. Like they don't really have to worry about that.
For me, the only thing, and again, like it's kind of like what you said, like I haven't actually used it, so I'm not saying anything about it because this could very well already be solved or they could be on their way to solving it. But it's just about, you know, bigger projects. How's it handle bigger projects, stuff like that? Because like, you know, Premiere's fine. I like Premiere, but I think there's a reason that Avid is used in certain instances.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, sure, DaVinci can probably compete with Premiere. Can Resolve compete with Avid or no? Or is that even their goal? I imagine that's not their goal.
It's probably
I don't
not,
think
but
that they care.
I'm pretty sure that there is a fairly robust like Teams type feature for project sharing in DaVinci. I think it's totally reasonable to use with a multiple editor project, but
you got to get Kuba on to talk about this.
Yeah. Kuba is, he bought a Blackmagic cinema camera maybe 6 months ago or so. And
that's so when we did that MLS social media project, that's what he filmed on.
It looks great.
And when he came,
it looks surprisingly good for whatever reason. I've always put Blackmagic as like a little bit lower in my head, like than
what Canon or something like that,
I
thought it looked really good.
I thought it looked amazing.
That camera looks great.
Yeah, it looked great.
But the thing is, all cameras look good now.
I guess that's
why I don't personally really care what camera people shoot on.
Yeah,
like because when he was asking about it, I was about to be like, oh, you should use the FX6.
Yeah.
Then I was like, why? Like, you know your camera, you own it. Yeah, just bring whatever you're most comfortable with and it's going to look good. I don't give a fuck. Like,
yeah.
If you know it's going to look good, I trust you to shoot it.
Whenever possible, I would rather, if I'm hiring a photographer or videographer, I would prefer them to use their gear because they're accustomed to it. They know its limitations. They know what it's good at and they're faster with it. You know, like,
there's just no pressure. Like,
yeah.
Because if you have a bunch of people around you and you're supposed to be using this tool that, like, you've only used a handful of times.
Yeah.
You're going to be not great with it. It's just like, even if like I use the fucking computer every goddamn day and I edit like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as someone stands over me and I'm like trying to figure shit out, I'm like, okay, wait, no, hold on.
You forget how to click. You forget how to type. You forget your shortcuts.
Yeah. It's terrible.
It's, I don't even know what I was going to say. Something about cameras.
Oh, cameras.
Yeah.
Well, either way, Kuba is going to come on here at some point. He was supposed to come on today, but he had a shoot, so I couldn't make it. But we'll get him on to do Crashing the Boards.
Sure.
Maybe we'll talk about that project, how it went. Moving on, KDEN Live is the next one. KDENLIVE. One word, KDEN Live. I've never heard of this. And
no.
I just went to the website and looked at it, and it looks great. It's like an open source cross-platform video editor. It's apparently just basic. I don't know anything about it, but it's cool. I went to their website, kdenlive.org, went to their about and to their roadmap. So like they're actively developing it and trying to make it cool.
It looks fairly robust.
It's just like, you know, this is very useful. If you're like just someone who's trying to get into video editing, it seems like you'll learn a lot of techniques and like philosophy. It's good. Any open source NLE is great for like learning philosophy and technique. Your shortcuts are gonna be different from thing to thing and different programs operate in different ways and have different features, whatever, but at its core, like if you're just starting out, your goal should just be to learn technique and philosophy.
I agree. And you know, it does look like, you know, if you want to eventually become a professional editor, maybe this isn't the program that you want to be working in long term. But if you're just like an amateur and you just want to like edit a video or like learn some basics, it seems like a really good option. And, you know, I'll say I technically learned on like Final Cut and then a little bit of Premiere. But my first real job, I worked on something called Edius. And that was for me, that was my first real NLE. You know, the others I learned on, but I never actually worked on. And then I was in Edius
now
for 4 years.
Edius, is that the news one or is that like Grasslands?
Grass Valley Edius. I think it's mostly for news because it works well with some like AP plugins so that you can basically you attach the videos to the server.
Yeah, you've told me about this.
Yeah, it's
well, you finished though. Well, you attach the videos to, it's like basically you have access to all like the AP like database or something like that.
And not so much like that, but you're able to there's a program called APENPS, and that's basically your rundown program for a news show. You know, you have like your stories, your A block, your B block, and you're able to, instead of exporting and then like moving that file to a certain place on a server or whatever, you just export and it brings up a menu that shows all the different places that you can attach that video to, the different stories you can attach that video to.
Got it.
So say it's the fifth story in the A block, that's A5, and then you would just select that and click attach, and it basically exports it into
the place
that
where
spot
it needs to be,
so that it goes into the deck so that it can be played live. Now it could be dangerous because you could accidentally attach something to the wrong story, and that's a big no-no. And the worst, I think it happened once or twice while I was at the station. I didn't do it, but I've seen it happen. You can attach while a story is playing and it'll just like send the screen to black and like really fuck things up.
That's
yeah.
not good.
But yeah, like I was saying, Etius, it's not an NLE that most people know, that anyone in this part of the industry would have ever worked on. But yeah, I still learned how to edit, and I brought some of those shortcuts over to Premiere because I like the way they work.
Dude, I mean, if you look at my keyboard shortcuts that I work on, it's a mess.
Yeah,
it's such a mess. Like, I was teaching Flora how to edit, like, because she was like learning stuff like for the last couple months, and every time I'm like, hey, I'm not gonna tell you my shortcuts because I don't want you learning my keyboard shortcuts. I'll tell you what the idea is and you can go figure out your own shortcut, or you can just use what's defaulted in Premiere. But mine were a holdover from Final Cut 7.
Yeah.
I still use Final Cut 7 shortcuts where like I've added a bunch of different things to them. So like,
well, I mean,
and sometimes I like have a shortcut that I like in Audition, and I take that and I move it and I use it in Premiere. So it's like,
even sometimes we'll just be like talking about, just talking about Premiere at the office, and you'll say, like, I'll have a question. You'll be like, oh, press this shortcut.
I'll be like, just shift B it or something like that.
And I'm
that.
Like,
that's not a thing.
Yeah. Because when I did learn Premiere, I tried to keep the Premiere default shortcuts as much as possible and only bring over the really necessary ones.
Yeah, that's smart. That's smart. I should have done that.
All right. The next free open source whatever tool is FFmpeg, which I think many editors will be familiar with.
Yeah, so I've heard of FFmpeg, but I think I may be confusing it with MPEG Stream Clip, which was like an old thing.
Oh yeah, I think I've used both. It's basically, it does a lot of different things. I didn't realize it could be used for editing, but it's used for, I've always used it for transcoding and compression, and I guess technically it can be used to edit a video, but I thought it was a command line program.
This person wrote, wrote, if you really want to be a video freak, download FFmpeg and try using it to edit video in the command line.
No thanks.
But he said once you get fast at it, it'll often be the most efficient way to do very specific commands. And if you're constantly doing one thing over and over again, you can use it to simplify automate the workflow.
Yeah, it does seem like a great program for automating parts of your job.
I wonder how many, like, could you possibly like download FFmpeg and then like create some sort of plugin that like runs using FFmpeg? So like basically you create a plugin for Premiere that will like maybe expedite, you know, certain types of deliverables or whatever, and then you just, the only thing is you have to have FFmpeg installed on the machine, and then like anyone can just put this plug in and it'll
Going back to KDEN Live, it says that KDEN Live is completely free, open source, runs very light, and even allows you to see the FFmpeg strings it is outputting. So it does seem like there's some sort of functionality there.
This thing is crazy. I feel like if I had time and if I cared, I would download it and try to learn it, but like this shit is like, next level. That's just not even video editing. It's like coding at that
point. It is,
yeah. So crazy. I don't see myself ever using it. I'm sure it's great. I don't see myself using it.
This next one actually sounds really interesting and useful.
Yeah. Lossless cut.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what this is. It says it's free and it says it can trim videos without re-encoding. So what is it? Just like a quick little, like a clipper? Like you just clip something out?
Yeah, it sounds like you can just like set new in and out points and then it just like changes the video without like re-exporting or any shit like that. Which, you know, I don't know how often I would end up using
that. Can't you just do that in QuickTime?
Maybe.
I think in QuickTime you can set in and out points and trim.
Yeah, well, not everyone uses QuickTime.
That's true. QuickTime might not even be free. I don't know.
Yeah. And this one's free and it sounds pretty useful.
The thing is, okay.
There definitely have been times where like I'll export and there's like one frame of black at the very end of the video or something like that.
Yeah.
In that case, you know, it could be useful.
Yeah. To me, the only thing about this, and this is just my shortcoming as a fucking, you know, nerd, I guess. If I click on the link that's provided here for Lossless Cut, it takes me to like a GitHub page. And as soon as I'm like in a GitHub page, I'm like, nope, using this.
I get frustrated with that too. Literally
don't know what I'm supposed to do. Yeah. So I'm just not even going to touch it. But who knows? Maybe, maybe it's cool. I'm looking at this page and it looks super, the GUI is like terrible.
Well, like, it's free and open source.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Oh yeah, it is a GitHub. Okay, yeah, I'm out on this. But hey, if you're a little bit more tech savvy,
Lossless Cut, check it out. Yep. It's like QuickTime, but I guess better or something.
The next category is audio. And this first program, it's pretty well known, I'd say. I've used it before a long, long time ago. It is called Audacity. And
Audacity is a throwback.
I think I first used it in like 2009 or something like that.
When I first started recording music, I used Audacity because it was free. So probably I was like, fuck it, I'll get it. And then I started like, you know, playing, like doing multi-track recording in there and all that. But it is so, it's just so bare bones.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
It's like literally if you want to hit record and record some audio and then export it, it's great for that. But if you want to do anything more, it starts to get... It's like you might as well just get a different NLE that actually like works.
Yeah, and Chris Persons,
or not an NLE, a DAW. I thought he was leaving.
I don't know. Chris Persons basically says as much. He says sometimes you just need a basic audio editor and recorder, and it does the job. It's not complicated, but it's free. It works. It's not complex, but you can do some basic editing.
That's about it. Next one, Reaper. I've heard of Reaper.
I have not.
Yeah, Reaper's another one of those where it's like
a MIDI sequencer.
It's like a cheap DAW, basically.
Gotcha.
I think that it's great. Again, I mean, look, DAWs all do the same thing, dude. Like, it doesn't matter what you use, in my opinion. Like, obviously, it's going to be harder to make something cool in Audacity. It's pretty easy to make it in like Logic or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Reaper, I mean, same idea. It's just a DAW with a MIDI sequencer.
Yeah, this one's it sounds like it's a lot more robust, but that comes with a cost. It is $60 for an individual, $225 for commercial. It does come with a 60-day free trial, though, which is pretty generous.
Yeah. This next one looks pretty good.
Okay, honestly. This next one is Ultimate Vocal Remover GUI, G-U-I. And it's cross-platform. It's free. Let's see.
It's also a GitHub thing. So I'm out on it. That's fucked up. That's stupid. That like as soon as I see GitHub, I'm out on it.
It's a free GUI that lets you download any number of AI models, so you can isolate vocals from a clip and spit that out into stems, and you can get super granular with the options. That sounds very useful in very specific situations, and especially for being free. I kind of want to try that out just to see what it does. It sounds super interesting.
Yeah, I use this function a lot actually, but not through this particular like program or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, vocalremover.org, right? Yes. Like I use that website all the time.
Well, you just told me about a new one as well where you can break
Fader.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah. FADR. Hardly R. Oh shit. FADR. I pay $10 a month for that. But you can, with Fader, you can drop in any song and it'll spit it out into its stems. It'll go like, you know, vocal stem, bass, drums, and instrumentation.
That's very cool.
So it is cool. The thing is, like, I think that that stuff is just going to become like, it's going to get just built into
the next
wave of DAWs.
Yeah.
Like, it's just going to be
probably within 2 years. We're going to see that as a pretty standard feature, but either way, it's still fairly novel right now. And I think it's cool.
Yeah, it works. Next category is downloading videos. So, okay.
This might have the most practical use.
I think this one actually has a lot of great uses. I haven't actually tried any of these, but when I got to this part of the articles and I was like, oh, we should talk about this on the show. The first one is YTDLP, and it's apparently it's just like a free YouTube downloader.
Yep.
Again, it's another like GitHub thing. So I think you basically have to install it on your computer, and then from there you can just download any YouTube video, basically.
That's kind of what it seems like. This says that the code for it is embedded in other software natively, and there's a bunch of front ends for it. So I think there's probably an interface that makes it pretty easy to use. But ultimately, yeah, it's just a YouTube downloader. That it probably makes things a lot more efficient with a little bit of work on the front end.
Now, I'm just reading on this, the README on GitHub. Apparently, it's cool because, you know, you can, one thing that seems cool is you can split the video by chapters. So, like, if there's, you know, if the video is broken into chapters and you just want a certain one, you can just download that one chapter.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Very useful.
I mean, the thing is, this is cool. I use a YouTube downloader plugin that works really well for me.
So do
so,
I.
Like, I don't think I would need this.
I feel like I like my downloader, but it does have its limitations. You know, it's sometimes a little bit slow. Sometimes.
Which one do you have? Do you have the one where it like embeds itself into the YouTube video and you can just choose to download the video, to download MP3, to whatever?
Or? I'm not sure. Mine is, I think it's just called like YouTube downloader through add-on crop. But it works pretty well. But every once in a while, I'll have a video where it just refuses to work and I have to go to like y2mate.com or something And it's fine. It does it for the most part. For me, it's just a convenience factor. I can just maybe I can download it straight from the YouTube page. But sometimes I click download and it's like upgrade to premium. And I'm like, oh, this is the wrong download button. So I just use it in the toolbar, the browser toolbar. From there, works great, but it could be upgraded.
I think that the next one on here is probably the one that I would be more likely to use.
Sure. This one is called 4K Video Downloader. It is cross-platform. It's free for a limited version, and then you can pay $10 a year for a license, $15 for personal, $45 for pro.
Have you been on the website? It looks so scammy.
It looks
crazy. Like if you go to 4kdownload.com, it's like it like legitimately looks like a pop-up.
It really does. It's a little untrustworthy. Well, I mean, I think that their design is just a little bit weird.
Yeah.
It's actually a pretty professionally put together.
Yeah. It's just the way it looks.
Yeah.
It's like scammy.
It looks a little silly.
It looks like it does everything great.
Wow. There's even an Ubuntu version. Great.
Wow, they're really out here.
Uh-huh. Shout out to our Linux friends.
It's also, they have another one like called 4K Talk Kit, like TikTok, but spelled different. Download TikToks and shit like that. Thing is, I don't know if I'm about to be paying $10 for a license, like $10
per
license.
Year.
I don't know how, I'm just not really, I'm just going to keep using the one I use. Like, it doesn't really make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, it's a YouTube downloader. There's not too much else to say about it. We've never used it.
Yeah. The next one is TwitFix. TwitFix extension is just a way to download videos off of Twitter. I thought you just could do that without having an extension, but who knows?
I've always had to use the Twitter downloader video or
Twitter. App. There's also like the thing is there's like a million things that do this. So, you know, like isn't there like a there's just like a website that's literally just dedicated to downloading. Like it looks really nice, like online like video converter.
Oh yeah,
you know
online video
about?
Converter is a classic.
Called?
Yeah,
like so. There's like a lot of these shits that do this.
Yeah, we'll probably start going through these pretty quickly. Yeah. This next one is perfectly named. at this point. It's called Just Another YouTube Downloader, aka JAYD. I guess they also have like a sister app called High Res Twitter. And
I mean, that's
it looks like it works on iOS. That's the whole thing.
That's
it's an iOS device.
That's cool.
App. Which that's mad useful. So they're going to get a slight upgrade from me just because it's, you know, everything else has just been a desktop.
Yeah. Yeah. To be able to like take any YouTube video and just download it to your phone is actually pretty lit. The next whole chunk is called encoding. You already know what the first one is going to be. It's Handbrake. Handbrake is classic. I think you actually the person who introduced me to Handbrake back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had to use Handbrake a few times. It's most often it's when I'm having like codec issues or something like that. And I need to, you know, convert it to something when a media encoder won't read it. But I do think what I originally used Handbrake for, and I think it was Handbrake, I could be wrong, but I used to use it to rip DVDs that I would get from like Blockbuster or the public library or whatever.
Or to like do what's it
or
called?
Redbox.
The image, disk imaging or whatever.
Exactly.
The fuck that shit was called.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of where I know it from as well. But I will say like for me in a professional capacity, like Handbrake is fucking awesome. Let's just put that out there. It's great.
Yeah.
But I don't need to use it ever. Like I feel like between, and I actually think this one is further down, but between Media Encoder and VLC and QuickTime, I kind of have everything covered.
I use Handbrake once in a while, just because I'm familiar with it.
The next one,
never
heard of it.
Yeah, it's called StaxRip. It is Windows only, so it's, you know, not a lot of use for us personally.
No.
But it acts as a GUI for a bunch of other pieces of free encoding software, such as FFmpeg, VaporSynth, and Avasynth Plus.
This is just on some like nerd shit
this
for real.
Is.
Like all of this type of like every
it even
program,
lets you do scripting in Windows PowerShell.
Yeah,
it's, like it's a very powerful encoding.
Yeah,
program is what it sounds like if you have that specific knowledge.
See, the thing is, I'm a creative more than I am a nerd,
yeah.
So that shit is too daunting for me. The next one is probably just as well. This one actually seems kind of nice. This is called Media Info,
and
this is just like a giant properties tab. Honestly, dude, I could see myself fucking just downloading this to have it.
Yeah, this one sounds useful. It gives you detailed information about your video file, like the audio and video format, the container, the bitrate, the color space, resolution, obviously, subtitle format. Like, it sounds like
this is actually super
easy. Yeah, anything, any sort of metadata or information that is baked into your file, it's going to tell you.
I think that this, I'm going to keep this tab up because this is like the most useful thing we've come across. Or
yeah.
For me, this is the most useful thing so far.
Yeah, because we don't have anything else quite like that. It's cross-platform. It's free.
Next one, Make MKV, which this is Chris Person writes. It's clutch if you have to archive DVDs or Blu-rays. I feel like I've heard of Make MKV before. Basically,
like
it's like
to use Handbrake.
I was going to say, it's like ripping a DVD, right?
Yeah.
So
That's perfect.
Moving on into playback.
Yep, this first one is a classic, and it is one of my most used programs. It is VLC, it's cross-platform, and it's free. It's basically the best media player. Like if you have a file that won't play in QuickTime or in Premiere or wherever, 99% chance it'll play in VLC. If it doesn't play in VLC, it's probably just a corrupt file.
Another great thing about VLC is during Christmas, they give the traffic cone a little hat.
That's true, so they give it a little Santa hat.
And we use VLC whenever we need to like loop a reel, for example, like for whenever we do open houses, we'll have like an hour or 20 minute long reel that just kind of has, maybe it's more like 40 minutes long. I don't know, but it's just a bunch of work that we've done. And we just set it to loop, and that way we just set it all night and just kind of keeps going.
My number one use for VLC these days actually is to cast videos onto my television because it's one of the only easy ways to cast from my laptop to my TV. So if I have like a movie downloaded or something or just some sort of file I want to cast, that's pretty much the only way I can do it is through VLC.
Yeah, VLC is the MVP. Speaking of MVPs, this next thing is called MPV.net.
Oh.
I don't know what this is. This is just like a Windows thing, yep. And I guess it's like an alternative to VLC. I hate to be that guy, but when the platform is only Windows, I don't even bother yeah, talking about. Like literally, I have nothing to contribute.
Well, and you could just get VLC.
Yeah, there you go. Streaming.
So
next category.
This first one we've used before, and I love it. It's called OBS Studio. Yeah. Basically it's a screen recording software, but obviously it's a lot more robust than that, but it's free, it's very functional. I think that there's another one called Streamlabs that's very similar, mm-hmm. and I mean I can recommend it. I can't remember what we used it for though.
I've used it before to do screen capture for TikTok, for like when we were making those.
Oh, that's what it was.
Like when
yeah.
I had to screen cap myself doing things in Premiere sure. to use it as like a learning, like TikTok or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, not a big user of that, to be honest. Tyler's leaving. You can just tell him.
There's a shirt on my desk for you.
Yeah, grab the shirt. Grab the souvenir shirt.
Thanks, Chris.
Stream Effects is the next one. This shit is like a plugin, I guess, for OBS. Again, if you're out here, like, if streaming is a big part of your life, then like, yeah, get this, I guess, because you'll be able to, you know, it's like you're producing your own live show. Like, you'll be able to put any sort of effects onto it. I don't really know. It's got filters and shit. I'm not big in the streaming thing. Like, so
yeah,
the shit is useful, I guess, but I don't really know much about it.
Yep.
The next one though looks like it actually could be pretty dope.
Yeah. The next one is called NVIDIA Pro, Broadcast. It's here. It's Windows only, so that's tough. It makes sense though because it's NVIDIA, and yeah. I'm not sure if Apple uses those cards anymore. It's free, but if you have an NVIDIA GPU, you can use it for live AI noise reduction, which is pretty fucking cool. Worst case, it's good for Zoom calls is what it says.
Noise, the way I feel about this shit is like, it's really cool that like it's got like echo removal and noise removal and all that, but at a certain point, we're already at that point where most of these things have that built in, right? Mm-hmm. So like, yes, this is great, but why would I bloat my computer with like all these extra fucking plugins when Zoom has this shit built in? Like other things have it built in. I don't know.
It looks like it has a bunch of different useful features. Like there's NDI for After Effects, NDI for Premiere Pro. So I'm assuming that you can do some noise reduction in there.
Well, NDI is the next thing.
Oh, my bad.
This is NVIDIA.
Oh, man.
So if you scroll up a little bit, you'll see like this one only has a couple effects like this tiny little thing. So I would not personally bloat my machine with NVIDIA Broadcast just because I think other things already have this shit built in. But yeah, let's get to the last one.
God, the last one, finally. It is called NDI Tools. It is cross-platform and it's free. Basically, what it does is it lets you transmit video over local area networks. It says it's low latency and very high quality. So basically, you can take any video source like your webcam or your capture card and designate it as an NDI source. And then any computer on the network can access that source. So it sounds very useful for streamers. For us, it probably doesn't have a whole lot of application, but it sounds pretty dope. And that's interesting. Now I'm curious what NDI for After Effects and NDI for Premiere Pro mean. Does that mean that you can broadcast the whole program?
I bet that it's the whole program.
That's pretty cool.
To like another monitor. That
I mean, honestly,
could be really useful.
If we were like streaming our process on Twitch or something like that, we would probably use a combination of this or OBS.
I mean, I think what's cool about this too is like, I imagine that you'll be able to, like, we would be able to stream this to the like the TV, right? The monitor. So
yeah.
Like, if we have a client and we wouldn't have to like get the HDMI set up or anything, we could just stream it.
Yeah, and especially if it's low latency, like, because that's always the issue with streaming stuff,
yeah.
is the lag.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember how we were casting something before. I think it was just like casting our screen onto the TV just so someone could see what we're doing.
It was like a screen mirror.
But it was slow and it would fuck us up.
Yeah, but that was like the fastest one, which is crazy. That was like the lowest latency was doing a full screen mirror. Because when you did the thing where like you had a separate desktop and dragged like a monitor to it, or it was always just a little, everything was like a little bit janky.
That's true.
You know? I guess nothing really beats hardwiring, but even that sometimes can be like not the best.
It's true.
I don't know. We'll see. I think of all of these, media info is the one that I'm going to really stick with. That one's cool. It's like a expanded properties window. I like that.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm going to try out a couple of these YouTube downloaders just to see what they do, because honestly, I download a lot of YouTube videos for jobs. It just happens, you know. So, and that's been true of my entire career, 8 years in, and that's how it's been. That was a great list. Thanks, Chris Person.
Yeah, Chris Person fucking crushing it. And then everyone in the comments is talking about a bunch of other things, like Rev, and I don't know, this person called out a thing called Shotcut. Someone else said you can just keep refreshing. You can keep re-upping your Final Cut Pro trial if you just want to do Final Cut Pro.
Nice.
For me, I'm just going to stick with Premiere. That's what I know. Cool. Chris, shall we get to what we learned last week?
Let's do it.
Okay. What we learned
last week.
Should I
you go ahead and kick?
Okay.
Wait. You want to start?
Yeah.
Go ahead and kick us off. Okay. Chris.
So last week, this is probably fairly common knowledge for a lot of people, but I learned that Thin Lizzy, the like metal band, I don't know, maybe they're not metal, there's heavy rock, they're Irish. They always just sounded like a fucking American ass rock band to me. I had no idea, but they're very Irish.
That's fucking nuts. I didn't know that either.
I guess the lead singer was born in England but grew up in Ireland and always identified as Irish. But yeah, I mean,
I thought they were like, if I had to guess, I would have guessed they were from like Tennessee or something.
I would have guessed North Carolina.
Some shit. Yeah. For me, what I learned last week was about lawyers' billing increments. So I learned that lawyers usually bill in 6-minute increments. Sometimes it can be 12-minute increments, but basically, it's a way for them to like, you know, that's just like the perfect sized increment where you're not like talking to someone on the phone, for example, like calling a lawyer and asking them something isn't going to take up an hour of billable time, but it's not like down to the minute. So it's still pretty efficient. So you can like 6 minutes, a tenth of an hour. You know,
I'm going to keep this in mind. And next time I have to speak to a lawyer on the clock, I'm keeping my conversations between 5 and 6 minutes because I want to get all of that money I'm paying for. If they're charged, I'm not having a 1-minute conversation getting charged for 6 minutes.
I just want to know, like, how do they determine the cutoff, right? Is it going to be like when you hang up or when they hang up or when you guys are done talking about law stuff or you know? Because here's the thing, like, what if it's like 5:58 and you're like, okay, got to go by, and you put the phone down, but they don't hang up till 6:01. Technically, they're gonna.
That's fraud. A lawyer would never do that.
That's true. Lawyers are actually very stand-up people.
Yeah,
I don't
totally
think they would do that. All right, Chris, where can the people find us?
We are at SizzleRealGang on Twitter and Instagram. We are SizzleRealGang@gmail.com, and of course, we have the SizzleReal cold line. That is
332-333-4361. Call in and yeah, leave a message, do some shit like that. Yeah, send us an email. And then catch us in Idaho at some point.
Yeah, we're doing our second live what's this called? Sizzle Reel Live 2.0.
Yeah.
It is, on a Thursday, March 23rd, maybe? I could have that wrong.
It's either a Thursday or a Saturday.
I hope it's Thursday.
I don't really fucking know. I think I have it somewhere in the calendar. Yeah, Sizzle Reel Live. It's going to be 5 p.m. on Thursday. So
get your asses to Boise, Idaho.
Yeah.
And
get your asses to Boise, Idaho.
Buy a 1-day pass to Tree Fort just to watch us.
Yeah. Or try to sneak into just our show.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I think it'll be pretty empty. So yeah. I don't think anyone's really going to care. All right. Well, yeah. Cool. Thanks for listening.
It's been good to be back.
Bye.
See ya.
A
Shishkin Productions podcast.